So my name is Trevor Radisson. I'm from Louisiana State University. So I'm just going to be presenting a little bit about what my lab is doing at LSU. So the title of my presentation is the Integrative Approaches to Dissecting Yield, QTL for Drought Tolerance in Rice. So rice is a very important crop. It is primarily produced and consumed in Asia. So if you take a look at the top five producers, you'll see that all of them are Asian countries, with the top two countries being China and India. If you follow this list down to get to number 12, you'll find the U.S. And we produce about 8 million metric tons, and this is concentrated in primarily six of the states. So that is along the Mississippi River, so Missouri, Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, and California. And these are based on, we categorize these based on grain shape and length. So 50% of the production is long grain cultivars, 40% is medium grain, and about 10% is a short grain. So if we just look, I guess, solely at Louisiana, Louisiana is ranked third behind Arkansas and California. And we plant about 170,000 hectares each year, and it accounts for about 1.3 million metric tons of the total 8 million metric tons that is produced in the U.S. So all the rice in the U.S. is grown under irrigation. So rice uses quite a bit of irrigation, and it's a little bit wasteful. So it's estimated that about 1,432 liters of water is needed to produce 1 kilogram of rice. So when you look at the global perspective of irrigation, rice is using 34 to 43% of the global irrigation water, and that's 24 to 30% of global freshwater resources. And that could be a problem in the future due to climate change. And it's estimated by 2025 that 15 to 20 million hectares will suffer some varying degree of water stress. And this is some irrigated hectares. So as you can imagine, when we don't have enough water, it can be really detrimental to rice production. And as you can see, we've already seen this happening in California. And it's estimated in 2014 that California grew 25% less rice due to a 30% water cut. But what exactly is happening to rice during drought? So when we have drought during early stages of rice development, you'll see low tillering. And throughout the season, you'll see leaf rolling, which affects the photosynthesis ability of the plant. But the most critical stage is prior to reproduction stage, which leads to high level of spikelet sterility, which is reported to reduce yield about 40% to 80%. So I guess the question in my research is, does rice really need that much water to be productive? And my lab thinks that the answer is no. So what we're doing in my lab, we're using three different populations. I'm using two different bioparental populations, Cocodrite and Vandana, and Cocodrite N22. So why do we choose these parental combinations? Well, Cocodrite is a historic Louisiana cultivar, and Vandana and N22 are both historically drought tolerant cultivars. And as you can see in our screening, this is Cocodrite, who's drought susceptible, and then Vandana and N22 that were drought tolerant. And we also have the rice diversity panel that was developed through USDA in Stuttgart, Arkansas, and with Cornell. And it has a total of 419 cultivars. So initially, we did some RNA-seq analysis, and this is just for one population. So this is going to be comparing Cocodrite control, Cocodrite drought stress, Vandana control, and Vandana drought stress. So we just want to look at the differentially regulated genes and the distribution of SNPs and the endos along the 12 chromosomes. So if you take a look at the photo, you'll see here the OS1, OS2, OS3, all the way to OS12 are just the rice's 12 chromosomes. The outer layer is the distribution of SNPs along each chromosome. In the inner layer, the blue layer, is the density of the SNPs. And if you see the little red bars, it indicates areas of high SNP density. And the inner layer, green layer, is the density of indels. So after running the RNA-seq analysis, We came up with our strategies that we're going to do, initially do QTL mapping. So we're going to utilize the SNPs and indels that we took from our RNA-seq analysis, you know, along with the SSRs that were published by McCooch et al. In 2002. So to do our QTL analysis, these were screened. Our plants were both screened in the greenhouse and in the field. And what we did, we took the traits, panicle number, seed number, and seed weight. But we administered drought in the field just prior to reproductive stage. And then we're also going to do some QTL seq analysis. So this is this a summary of the QTL from the population Cocodrie and Bandana. So we have a total of 15 QTL for the traits, panicle number, seed number, and seed weight across six chromosomes, and the R-squares ranging from about 6% to 12.4%. And since we had so many chromosomes, or so many QTL, we're primarily going to focus on areas that we have C co-localization of the QTL, except for chromosome 7, which we are going to focus on because there was recently a ATP ribosylation factor that was characterized on chromosome 7. And just to point out something interesting that we found is on chromosome 12, we see QTL that were contributed with a favorable allele from Cocodrie, which for seed weight, seed number, and panicle number, we thought that was kind of interesting because Cocodrie is our drought-susceptible parent. But it has been reported before by Bernier whenever he crossed the same parent, Bandana, with a Wayrum. So that was pretty interesting. So here's just the summary of the QTL for the Cocodrie and N22 recombinant inbred lines. And as you can see, we see I guess similar structure where the R-squared is ranging from 6 to about 10%. And then for this population, we really just wanted to focus on chromosomes that we were similar to the Cocodrie and Bandana populations. So we're just going to focus on chromosome 1 and chromosome 9. And this is just to give you a kind of a better visualization of our chromosomes, our QTL. So on the left here, we have Cocodrie and Bandana, and then the chromosomes, and then on the right we have Cocodrie and N22. And the reason we want to focus on these chromosomes is because these chromosomes have been previously reported to have influenced drought tolerance. And then, as I said before, we're going to keep chromosome 7 due to the ATP ribosylation factor. So blue is going to indicate favorable alleles from Cocodrie. Red is going to indicate the favorable alleles from Bandana. And green is going to indicate favorable alleles from N22. So going back to the RNA-seq analysis, we looked at the differentially regulated genes, just Cocodrie and Bandana under drought. So here we see the upregulated genes and the downregulated genes. And so we're primarily going to focus on the shared upregulated and shared downregulated genes between the two parents. And that's going to be carried forward through our QTL-seq analysis. So for QTL-seq, we're going to take our QTL regions and we're going to, I guess, SNP multiplex these areas, and we're going to look at all the genes within that area. But we're going to take just the shared genes from the previous slide and compare it to all genes in that area, and then we're going to focus on the genes that are in common. So we've done some work, but there's still a lot of work left to do. So we still need to do our QTL-seq analysis, and we're primarily going to focus on the extreme segregants, so the 21 most resistant cultivars and the 21 most sensitive cultivars. And these are going to be in both biparental populations. So we really want to saturate these the areas of our QTL. So we want to put SNPs within and the flaking of this region. So, and also I mentioned earlier that we have a rice diversity panel. So we're going to do some genome-wide association mapping and we're going to utilize this population to do our marker validation. So the conclusions, our TRIPS, our RNA-seq analysis identified SNPs and indels that were used later for our QTL mapping along with the SSRs from Dr. McCooch. We identified QTL for both populations, so we had a total of 24 QTL, and it ranged from about 6% to 12% the R-squared. And so we still need to, the distance between our flanking markers needs to be narrowed down using the QTL sequence. And we're going to be identifying genes within the QTLs, and then we need to be validated. And with that, I just want to thank my advisor and then all my lab members and the funding through the Louisiana Rice Research Board. And with that, I'll take any questions. So the question was, can we use the same transcriptional analysis for both biparental populations? We're actually going to be doing RNA-seq analysis for both populations. So the CoCo3 times banded RNA-seq analysis is going to be for that population, and we're also going to have another RNA-seq analysis for CoCo3 times in 22. So we're going to be utilizing different RNA-seq analysis.
So those transcripts can now be mapped.
I assume they will, but I guess we want to be a little more accurate, and then
that's going to be called something like transcriptome guided mapping or something.
Yeah.